the implementation of this would require a lot of engagement with the different stakeholders and particularly business. If we don't target business, because that means money, if we don't consume business, we will not really make good progress.
I was coming danger calls there. Will you make a space for me there?
We do. You see what we do? We have courses for staff. We have got courses for students. And we have the summer school. We call it summer in January, where people attend in the evenings. So that is for the public. But again, you know, for example, if in Parliament there's a group of people, 15 people, 15 people who need a course, we can come and provide the basic course, the beginners, for those who cannot even say Molo, you know. yeah, the beginners, transportation, maybe lunch hour time, or another time that's provided, that is done in-house. So that, we've seen that why it works in-house. Because if you're a group from a particular department, after the course, you have to greet each other, you know. You joke, you laugh, you encourage each other, because it takes courage to learn a language. So that's how we manage, you know, department. And every department just tell us, we are 10, we are 15, come and help us. We are 10 and 15, come and give a course in-house. And that has been working very well.
Chairperson, if I can just ask Professor Madiba, you know, you mentioned a very important thing about standardization of languages. And I knew that in Afrikaans it was actually a big problem. When you start standardization, you exclude people because they sort of adopted many years ago in the apartheid algemeen beschaafde Afrikaans, you know, and that manner, you know, that was the norm and the broadcasting and the academic standard for Afrikaans. Then you even exclude my colleague coming from the Namakwaland, you know, and their dialect of Afrikaans and the Afrikaans of the Kaapse Vlakte and all those type of things. So we have to be very, very cautious not to be exclusive, but we have to be inclusive. And that's a very important thing. As I listen to some of my other colleagues here, you know, if you sort of adopt a standard, for instance, one of the African languages, you must be very, very cautious not to exclude people, because you will say, okay, that form of the language is maybe too high or too low. You understand what I mean? You will speak yourself very, very well in this whole instance. And maybe Bonsal can also play a role there. I don't know. Thank you, Jefferson.
Yeah, you know, the issue of standardization is a bit of a challenge. And that's why it also hit us, especially among Africans. Even Africans, I mean, there's an argument really that if Africans, you know, want to become an African language, it really needs to reflect the features, the characteristics of some of the African varieties, you know, the if Africans, for example, you know, I know universities like Stellenbosch are trying to do some pretty way to accommodate that. So English is omnibus. With English, whatever comes, it gets in there and it's being used. The English accommodates a lot of it. But African language is still a problem. For example, if you take a language like Sibeli, or, I mean, Northern Sud, they're still a percent of this. If a child comes from Kidobe or Sokwa area, and that child goes to school, and then we say that child has got a home language, which is Sibeli, it's not Sibeli. That child, Sibeli is like a foreign language to that child, because it's not a home speech to the child. So, although we're not open, now we have to throw everything apart, standardize, but I think flexibility that you are referring to is very, very important. Now, to internalize a child, even the essay, the child writing Sibeli uses a variety of Xhosa, Kidobe, and Welsh, to internalize a child for that. You know, we when I was still, I served for 2 terms as a member of the Shivenda Lexicographic Unit, we were trying to encourage examiners, even grade 5, that if a child uses a term that is a dialect, please, that child must be accommodated. See, now we've got a new phenomenon which is going to hit us very hard. The ethnic varieties. You have heard, now sharp because of, the unfortunate passing away of, of Vuyo. You know, he promoted that kind of slang. You know, everybody, everywhere you go, now the argument is sharp, it's a form that is being used by some people, and those people have got dignity. So, the argument is now, how are we going to deal with urban varieties? Because those urban varieties now, with the rate of urbanization, because this is what things are going on. Urbanization is growing very tremendously. Over 1 million people have flooded.
700,000 have come to Western Cape, Western Town. So there's a big movement from the rural areas to urban areas.
And when these people are coming into this space, they're creating a kind of language which suits their communication. And this kind of a language, is being transferred into this. For example, if my standard Chivenda, if I say the person is a dog, the person is a dog, it's an insult, that person is poor. But the young people in the township, Inja is not poor. Inja is a boss. Inja, I say Inja. How do you change it? It's like we are fighting against a big wave. How do we adjust? So I think instead of game, I did a TV program on this when I was asked whether Sosita should become the official language. It was, I think, podcast and shown at 1 hour. So, and I was arguing that let's leave Sosita alone to take his own life to such time where it can be used as a resource for education, for communication, for whatever level. Because you will never go against this kind of... So I think my advice to Pensar is that, yes, we have got official languages in the Constitution. We need to ensure that these languages are promoted, that people use them equitably, and so on. But at the same time, we should be very much aware of the other development. Where we can, let's not stand to go against the tide, because in 2030, 2025, before our, the end of our national plan, the majority of our kids will be speaking sharp. All these things that will be happening. But if we can harness that into some forms of effective communication, into some forms of learning tools in education, in schooling and so on, we have to find a way to harness that. So it's not one level. We can have, like English, you can have different levels. Standard, which is spoken sometimes, not even. Standard English is not spoken anywhere. You go to London now. What you hear from central London is that we are speaking better English here. When people speak Central London, you can run away. When I went there, I thought I'm going to learn English, but I had to close my ears sometimes not to hear the kind of way that people are using there, because it's not what we are told about the standard. So I think the standard, as it used to be known, is changing. So we need also to be flexible with our language. I think we need to make it dynamic. You got to. You see, you can't, there's no way where, there's with certain levels where you use certain very formal forms, where communication of effective meaning is important. But there are other levels where the language can be used dynamically. We can create a space where the languages are desirable. They are not desirable. Why people go for English? Because I'm speaking my language now. It's not real English. If the Queen was here, the Queen was, this is not my language. But I feel comfortable. I use it in the way that I speak it. So why African language cannot be used in certain levels there? So we need to see a whole container of very formal on the one hand and less formal and let it true and reach each other and make African languages dynamic. They really focus on standards as they were written by the missionaries. That will take us very far.
Thank you. I think we're not going to celebrate the last, because that's why I said we mustn't sit together today. You've got in the last 5 minutes that you have. No, you can.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Professor Nadiba. We're having a very constructive discussion this morning, conversation. On this last point, I would love to see all official languages in South Africa. indigenous languages, all of them, not only Afrikaans, to become a language of the academics, the medicine, the law, etc., etc. Now, of course, that is something very different from the language we speak. But I would love to see that development. Okay. Now, being a specialist as far as language policies and language plan is concerned, and the use of official languages bill we referred to just now, you know that provinces should, by this time, have language policies. And you know about the Gauteng one, and I know that the Western Cape has one and Limpopo has one. But I don't know about the other provinces. Recently they haven't had that. And before they don't have that, I can't see how the use of official languages laws can be implemented in government departments, etc., in those provinces. So if you become a member of CONSOL, how will you assist or encourage provinces to get so far to develop a language policy? That's the first question. And then another aspect, Chair, I like very much, is this short courses in language. Now, what role can language awareness campaigns play in promoting multilingualism? I think you touched on it now, but do you have other ideas? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think with regard to the use of language in academic setting, you are very right. The language of academy, even if you speak the language, but when it's being used by the professionals or the practitioners, it's slightly different. And then, unfortunately, there's no way you can develop a language of science unless people are discussing in science. People must speak, because you are not only technology, it's the registers, ways of speaking, you know, phrases that are being used there. And those kind of phrases, those kind of registers, when doctors speak sometimes, you can say, well, I don't hear what people are saying, you are going, this IP, what, and even if I speak English, I don't hear what they say. So African languages still need, you know, in terms of, my argument is that African languages have developed. They have definitely developed to the basic level where they can be used. So the other levels of development, that cannot take place through development behind closed doors. The other levels of development will happen when we use the languages. For example, when I designed the concept of the Global Project for Economics, and the idea, the argument from the staff members, the professor was that, you know, you cannot have economics in Eastern and Uganda. So I took two groups of students, group of Eastern students, group of Uganda students, and then let's talk about deficit. What is deficit? You know, those students have got a way. They discuss deficit in Iskosa. I recorded that discussion. I played it to my language board. They were all listening, and they could not believe it. Are these the same black students who keep quiet in the classroom, who are so engaging now, who are, you know, referring, linking things, and so on and so forth? So then we said, these are community of, we call them community of discourse. People of a particular profession develop languages, as, you know, if we are working together here, before a week, we have developed our own register, ways of talking, ways of saying things and things. So the only way to develop those languages, that's what we are pushing in higher education. Give students opportunity to discuss, and we are trying to approach it in the way that if universities can invest money in employing multilingual tutors, these postgraduate students, let them teach their brothers, incentivize them, and let them facilitate discussion in their own languages. And we have another small thing. It's very, I mean, the visit came to see me the other time, wanted to hear what these students are talking. Is this really? And he was quite fascinated. So the only way to develop that, if, for example, you want to develop political register, unless you have got engagement on certain issues in parliament, in very particular languages, the register, political register will never develop. It will develop when the honorable members of the House, the parliament, are engaging issues in their own language. It may pass. When you start, it will be funny. But when you go on, it will be fine. So the value of language awareness campaigns, I always, you know, they say the taste of the pudding is in the eating. If you tell somebody about how good the language is, and the person has never experienced that. If you know Molo, and then you go to Kailisha, you meet five people, hey Molo, and then you see their action, how they react to you, how they embrace you, how they establish trust, how they trust you, accommodate you. You never say, but if you start, you are doing the course, you know, you engage people in the language, you see the action, that is different. You know, we always say if you talk to a person, you know, in and the level which is not his, you are talking to the head, I mean to the, that person to his head. But when you're speaking the person's language, you're speaking to the, so I think we need more and more campaigns. And unfortunately, this is an area where Prince Albert has not been successful. They have not been engaged with in awareness campaigns, but in the turnaround strategy, it's there. But my worry is that even if it's there, it's very, very shallow. You don't see their activities. How are they going to raise awareness? How are they going to engage different stakeholders? Just say, no, we'll engage stakeholders. But how? So I think the new board, maybe with the UAC, I mean, chief executive officer, they could really think we need to invest more on awareness raising.
What are they turning around? Unfortunately, time's over. Brother Madiba, thank you so much for making your time with us on a Saturday. And we had to, because we are patriotic, so we had to. Thank you so much. We are also ending as we're also interviewing us, and I must say I like your passion on language and how you've gone. Thank you so much, and we really, really appreciate it that you made your time here, and I hope you will bring also the causes to Parliament. You know, I'll talk to Mr. Nyigan about it on some of the issues. Thank you so much, and all the best, and God bless. Thank you so much. We appreciate it so much. Okay, thank you
very much for the opportunity.
Well, is there any question you want to ask us?
No, I'm satisfied. No.
I think we are very privileged to meet all this wonderful people in South Africa.
And we'll never know where they had been.
Yeah.
With all this information, let's have them do the language. Why were you not have the language submission?
I need a way to
Thank you
very much.
Candidate will be on Skype because he's in the Netherlands.
Introduce you to the chairperson of the committee who is introduced to the entire panel.
Yes.
So she's the one who is going to be sitting and be on screen with you.
Okay, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
I've never done this. How are you? Fine, thank you for availing yourself on a Saturday. And we really appreciate it also being able to on Skype. Some of the members have never done this, they are just happy. And your only reason is for their benefits, I say you're going to old. So you'll be interviewed by women parliamentarians, associated with women and all, because it will be a nightmare. They're the only people who can look at me. I've got Honorable Lidamon, I've got Honorable Tori, I've got Honorable Mamita Shilvan, I've got Honorable Mahunda. There's your old friend, old Lima Rapper. Then you have Honorable Van Kalkbeek. Then you have Honorable Ntibaila. A Bob will just ask you the questions. I'm not sure that it's still on to you or your African in Africa, or you just, you can answer any language. Every answer is just correct. We always say this.
I would agree that when I express myself, you know,
to use
Afrikaans.
Okay, the interpreter is here already. He is just really sitting next to me. Maybe you can understand my questions in English, then in Afrikaans you can respond fine. Honourable members, we've got only 45 minutes to prof. My first question would be comfortable, prof. No answer is wrong or right. My what does it say now? The connection between you is too slow for a good video. But it doesn't matter.
You can... Yeah,
you can sometimes. No, it's fine. Who is Prof. Customs? And why did Prof. Definitely you were about the 2 minutes about yourself with Radio TV. Why? What was your interest in becoming a member of the board? Why did you align?
Dit is baie goeie vraag en is al baie lang betrokken by taalsaak in Suid-Afrika en is baie lang betrokken by taalsaak aangeleendhede ook. Ek is bijvoorbeeld voorzitter van die nationale taalsaak van Afrikaans, wat die Kansa National Language Body is. Ek is lid van die National Lexicography Unit, die bureau van WAT, en ek was lang voorzitter van die Noordwest Provinciale Taalkomitee. Tweede is ek voorzitter van die dit is gangse academie van wetenschap en kunst en moedigvaar andere instanties. Ek is een taalmens, dit is vir my baie belangrik. En een groepie mens het my genomineer omdat ek ook kundigheid het en ek die vermoe het om een verschil te maak. En dit is die enigste rede hoekom rechter in gestem om my beschikbaar te schep. Ek het baie ander verplichtinge. Ek is moeilijk om tyd beschikbaar te maak, maar jy omdat mense my vertrouw en vraag om dit te doen, sal ek dit. Ek kan misschien ook net sê, ek is een academicus, ek het een klompie boeken geskryf, ek dink van my boeken het enorme potentiaal om in al die kataal verwerk te word, en ek sou graag daar die processe betrokken wil wees. Om net een idee te gee, een van my boeken, wat het kundigtief verskyn het, hy word tans in 4 Afrika kataal verwerk. Die Sizulu, Sikosa, Sizulu, Setswana, en ons wil baie goed daarvoor, volgende jaar behoort die boeken te verskyn en dan wil ons die andere Afrika-tale vat. So eigenlijk is dit een taal mens, ek is een taal activist, dit is een taal en ek wil kreeg het maken voor skraal.
Thank you so much, Prof. Is there any Afrika to approve now for member? Or can you Afrika?
Ja.
No, ek wat dan gehoor. No, you need to approve.
Yeah, you appreciate it was quite mouthful to summarize. I'll speak on the perspective of the professor. So I've been a language activist for a long time. I've been involved with language for a very long time. I've been active in various language bodies, etc. Mentioned the Academy, Akademie van Wetenschappekunst, the Afrikaans Academy, and various other bodies. I think Northwest Language Committee, Provincial Language Committee, etc. I'm academic and have very many commitments and it's very difficult to make time available, and the reason why I've put myself at the disposal for this post is that I've been nominated by people who believe that I can make a contribution and make a difference. I've written various books of which I believe that several have the potential to render a great contribution if they are being translated or adapted to other languages. For one book that I wrote in 2004, it's currently being adapted into 4 African languages, and it should be ready by the end of the year, I believe. And after that, we also plan to extend it to the other indigenous languages. And that's why I agreed to this nomination, to be nominated for this position. May I add something?
You see, I'm very interested in knowing Africans, Professor Kirsten, knowing it. Not the language that I know in Johannesburg. I speak the Sobitan in Johannesburg. That's what I speak. And
hello, bro. Hello.
Okay. Can you still hear me? Okay, I said I am very. Yeah, I am from Johannesburg. I'm telling you that I envy the people who can communicate in Africans and in Western Cape so proficiently. And because I am from Johannesburg, I speak what is called the lingua franca of fire. That's what I don't know whether you have ever heard of that. It's a mixture of Africans and all the other things. You know it, yeah. And I think you can hear from my voice what my age is. Yes. So, Prof, I just want to know, as far as you have viewed a consult, you know, was very good when it was established. And it was established with good intentions. And by now, I think there is a lot of work that could have been done than to have wasted time as we have done so. And I think what you have been telling us just now is very interesting. I know if you are saying you are talking about the indigenous languages, you know what you are talking about. And for me, you see, if we could have people, you know, speaking and understanding the dialects and everything, and understanding Africans, because what I've discovered, Professor Kirsten, is that we belong to one country, South Africa, and we must learn to live together. And if we don't understand the attitude that we have, it's not going to carry us anywhere.
Yeah.
We must learn to appreciate each other if we are talking about reconciliation. So it would be the best thing for us to try and encourage the students, the children that are at an earlier stage at schools, at preschools, at early childhood development, to be taught to speak these languages, more especially languages that would be useful to us so as to build the economy of South Africa. I wanted you to tell me if you think PANSALG has reached that, you know, standard where we think we have done enough, and what would you envisage a sort of PANSALG should be doing if you were to be appointed as a member of the board, and what would your advice to the CEO so as to have a turnaround strategy in what has been happening so that we can hasten our transformation. Thank you.
Ek is so glad dat jy hierdie vraag gevra het, nou kan ek kans kry om my standpunt hier te stel. PANSALG het effektief begin funksioneer van 1996 af. Ons is in die jaar 2030. PANSALG het bitter min om te wys. Wat hy het, het drie liggame. Hy het onbevoegde ambtenare, baie swak besteding van finansies, en absoluut onbehoorlike toepassing van
feeling is that the concert is dysfunctional. It started out in 96, and
yeah.
Now it's 2013, and since there's very little to show for this time span, and it consists of incompetent officials and then a head office in Pretoria, but they've got poor spending records and poor application of their own regulation. My feeling is that they're really dysfunctional and one has to start from scratch, really. You could probably use the existing structures but fill them with new content. And my feeling is also that they don't get enough finances because they only get sort of half-hearted government support because the government is politically compelled or constitutionally compelled to support it, but their heart is not really in it. That is my feeling. And the dysfunctionality is also partly because of too much political interference.
Okay, thank you, Prof. There was another hand.
Okay.
That's your old, that's Lira Nikki van der Berg.
Okay.
Ja, professor Kagan, hulle noem my liewe Nikki, dit is seker vanweer my liefdevolle geaardheid of iets, ja, ek weet nie hoe kom. But I think for, I'm going to speak in English so that we can don't lose time. Professor Kagan, miskien moet ek het ook in Afrikaans sê. Taal is eigenlijk een verskrikkelijke vernietigende ding aan die ene kant, en aan die andere kant is dit 'n ding wat mense by mekaar kan bring. En ons weet dat taal 'n belangrike rol gespeel het om beleid in die verlede toe te pas en mense het kwaad geword vir Afrikaans. En Afrikaans is dikwels gesien as die groot probleem in ons samelewing. Maar ek glo ook dat taal die vermoë het om mense weer by mekaar uit te bring omdat daar goedgesindheid is in taal. En taal maak nie noodwendig mense slig nie, en ek dink dit is 'n baie belangrike ding. En ek het in my budget speeches wat ons hier parlement gehad het, nog elke jaar die belangrikheid van kuns en kultuur beklemtoon, juis omdat dit tot die hart van elke mens spreek. En ek is bly dat ek genoem het van die Afrikaanse taalraad en dit en die versoening. Nou, ons moet sê dat geweldige versoening in die Afrikaanse gemeenskap al reeds plaasgevind. Dit sal nie binnenkort afgehandel wees nie, maar Afrikaans versoen tenminste met al sy taalsprekers en ons probeer sekerlik so inklusief as moontlik te wees. En nou daardie rol verder aan uitgerol word na al die Afrika tale, en ons het wonderlike onderhoude gehad met mense wat so passievol is vir moedertaal. Ek het eintlik geseën soos ek hier sit om al die wonderlike dinge te hoor wat die mense gesê het. En ek wil net graag by u hoor die rol wat Pansalp dan nou verder kan speel, en ons weet dat Pansalp is nie funksioneel nie, maar net vir ons 'n paar praktiese dinge kan gee vanuit die perspektief oor wat Pansalp kan doen om al die tale hulle regte rol te laat speel. Want ek dink, dis by almal van ons wat hier sit vandag, 'n passie dat taal versoenend moet wees en dat taal nooit weer soos die verlede teen gediskrimineer word nie. Professor, dankie. Dankie, voorzitter.
Can I respond or will it was an interpreter?
Just a question.
Okay.
Just a question.
Okay. Can I respond?
Yes.
Okay. Ja, maar dat is schrikkelijk belangrijk wat je gevraagd. Ik denk die proces wat Afrikaans deurgemaak het, proces van interne versoening is een van die belangrijkste dinge wat die afgelopen 20 jaar in Zuid-Afrika plaasgevind het. Kijk, Afrikaans was het al wat verdeel het. Afrikaans heeft een Afrikaans is gebruik apartheid af te doen, ons weer het. Maar op een stadium, en dit is die gevoel die Afrikaanse taalgemeenskap gehad het, moet dit is maar hoekom jy Engels begin kies. Nou die dag sê, student in die klas dit vir my. Ek sê nee. Ek sê ons is 'n land met onder 40 tale. Dit waaroor ek nou navorsing gedoen het. En maar ons is 'n land wat uit 'n bepaalde geskiedenis kom. En die een uniekheid wat Suid-Afrika kenmerk is sy unieke mense. Ons aanvaar mekaar se uniekheid, ons aanvaar mekaar se taal en kultuur. Maar dan het ons iemand nodig om dit so te bestuur dat ons by mekaar uitkom. En dit, daarin het ons panser totaal mislik. Hy het strukture gehad, maar hy het nie opval gehad. Hy het nie mense by mekaar hard gebruik. Kom ek sê, dit is nog een laatste voorbeeld. Ek het nou al die afgelope drie jaar voorsitter van die nationale tegnaantafel vir Afrikaanse, Afrikaanse National Language Body. Jaar na jaar word ons er begroting toegekend, dan vergader ons, let wel, ons vergader nie in persoon nie, ons vergader telefonies om kopste te sny, en dan leer ons ons begroting voor in ons projekte. Drie jaar later het hy nog nie een cent spandeer. Hierdeur verloor die mens gemoed. Eet nie hier hoe hard ek nie sikkel om die mens nou by Pansa te dokke duin. In ander woorde, ons moet Pansa sy reputasie red. En dit gaan baie harde werk weg, en dit gaan baie harde besluit weg. Maar die een ding wat ons kan red, is mense soos u, wat as komitee daar sit, en mense op die raad aanwys, wat taalaktiviste is. Ons moet nie bang wees vir politici nie. Ons is taal mense, ons is lief in Suid-Afrika, ons is lief in mekaar, en ons moet dit laat werk. En daarom vraag ek, julle hoef my nie te kies nie, maar ek vraag julle, kies met mense wat weet wat hulle doen. Wat die politieke connecties het, kies taal mense. Ons kan met mekaar praat. Ons kan met mekaar werk. I'm sorry, I'm
Mr. Gaming,
you know, I speak quite a lot.
No, I can hear also the pressure in you, that you're especially the last time. Vicky's question, summarize it quickly.
Yes.
The last, the real question on the...
Honorable von den Berg said that the language can be very destructive and divisive, but it can also be a unifying and reconciliation factor, and it should be used in that way. And the professor also emphasized that the whole experience of getting the Afrikaans Taalraad, the language board, going, even the preliminary audits to find out what do we have, where do we start, was such a good learning curve that could be also used as a model by others. And the important function of PANSOP as the constitutional language body should be to make the expertise that exists in the country, to make that available for the benefit of all the languages, and that is a function in which PANSOP has failed miserably up to now. And they should be, well, they should start from a new footing and fulfill that function which they've failed to do in the past. It's being asserted overseas that it's impossible to have 11 official languages. Prakash disagrees. He says people in South Africa do accept one another and their differences and their diversity, but it has to be managed in a unifying way, and that could be the function of a body like PANSOP, provided that it is left to the linguists, to the experts in the field, and not people with political agendas. And PANSOP has the structures, but it has failed to play the unifying and conciliatory role that it's supposed to play. I think that was the gist of it.
I think you spoke from there. I'm not an African, but about all practice, we don't have only 11 languages, but we have over 40, including the dialectics that no one speaks about. Okay, I'll let you last part though. Another hand. No, from Calgary.
Thank you, Chief Professor Carson. I'm also Afrikaans speaking. I'm from Calvinia, Macmillan. But I'll try my English. You know, we only speak English when we defend ourselves. but I'll try my utmost. Professor, what role can language awareness campaigns play in the promotion of multi-
multilingualism and the development of sign language. Sign language at this stage is not an official language, but I think that is very important as well. Thank you.
At Northwest University, where I'm head of the language faculty, I instituted sign language as a course, and now it's very rewarding to see how that has taken on, and that students are choosing this subject, and even staff members, number of staff members are attending classes and wish to learn this language. And the important thing to create awareness is by people speaking their own language, like Angela Merkel, the German Chancellor, when she visits Holland, she speaks
speaks there in German and it's being interpreted. Thank you very much for your word of support for the interpreters as well. And that's the important thing, and that when President Zuma speaks on television, he should speak in Zulu, and we could have interpreters, or that would be the way to show, to make people aware of our multilingualism, and that people insist to speak their own language, then that would be the right example, setting the right example, and parliamentarians should set the example, and you as the committee as well. If everybody speaks on her language, then it becomes acceptable. Nobody's afraid anymore to speak their own language because it could be divisive or so. And that is the aim we should be striving for.
Okay. Any other questions? Honorable
Thank you, Chairperson. Professor, I see that you have attended a number of Thumbs Up conference from your CV. And I read in your CV that you have attended quite a number of conferences on Thumbs Up. I see in 2002 there was a conference on marginalized languages. What I want to know, Prof, is that do you think Afrikaans was a marginalized language in the sense that in the early 1976, the Afrikaans-speaking people or government wanted to enforce Afrikaans by way of making it compulsory to use Afrikaans as a medium of instruction? And what is it that you have discussed on that conference on marginalized languages? Were you referring to the indigenous languages, which now we've got an act in order to promote those indigenous languages? Thank you.
Ek hoor gehoor, maar ek verstaan. Ek het feitlik alle taalkongresse, symposium, seer, middel 90's bygewoon. Elkeen wat daar was, wat geskep is, was ek daar. Ek was bijvoorbeeld deel van die groep mense wat die concept van die nationale taalwet voor het gebeurgehaal is aangestel. Dit is een wet wat volgens my oordeel baie meer meertaligheid bevorder het as die huidige voorgestelde wet. En ek is verskrikkelijk jammer dat die huidige wet van haar opsig gebruik is. Dit is die eerste ding. Die tweede ding is, hier is helemaal reg. Afrikaans is in die 70er jare gebruik om een beleid af te doen dat mense geweldige skade aan kan reg. En wat ons nou moet probeer doen is om daar die beleid om ons, as spreker van Afrikaans, sedert 94, actief bezig om dit ongedaan te maak. Dit is die een baie pertinente rede, hoekom spreker van Afrikaans hulle kundigheid kom aanbied, soos nou, in die belang van taal in die land. Ek dink dit is die beste wat ons kan doen. Ek is so jammer dat sommige van my landgenote wat Afrikaans spreker is, soms verdelend is, soms nog steeds racistische opmerkings maak. Daal, dit allemaal maar vreemde mense in ons taalgemeenskappe. En ek geloof nog steeds dat as ons die wil het en ons het kundigheid kan ons die ding waar maak. Baie van die gang is ek meer daar wees as ons werkelijke veelvallige land is. Ons moet vir mekaar sê dat ons 21-30 van Suid-Afrika volledig meer taal wees. Dat mense die vrymoedigheid gaan hê om hulle tale oor en weer gebruik soos hulle wil. Dis daai tipe drome wat ons moet nastreef. Ek kyk na die nationale ontwikkelingsplan van die regering, jy moet die tydsverlaamheid daarin sit, anders kan jy dit nie bestuur. Ek hoop dat ek die antwoord van dit naam en president verstaan het.
Okay.
I did not understand the question quite well, but I think I got the gist of it. I attended all the congresses and symposiums that were held since the mid-90s, relating to your question about the conferences. And I was also part of the body that developed the concept for the initial Language Act, the first version. And I'm very sad that that did not become the present act, because I think it was stronger than the present act that we have at the moment. You are quite right about the role of Afrikaans since in the 70s, in 1976, and the role of Afrikaans was divisive and it generated a lot of animosity, and since 1994 many Afrikaners have tried to make amends to to repair the damage that was done during the 70s. Unfortunately, there are still some fellow Afrikaners who continue to make racist remarks. We can't help that. We've got strange people in all language communities, and you can't blame the other members of that community for their strange compatriots. And we should strive for an aim like to make South Africa fully multilingual by 2030, and then we should act accordingly and strive to achieve that aim.
Is there another question, please? Prof, the question now will come from me, chairperson, again. I guess I've been listening to you. You are very passionate about the constitution. I've been listening to you. Now, I know you are a tall activist. You know, you said it already, but now, currently the challenge is in council. Remember, if you are selected as a board member, it's not only about promoting a language, even the governance inside a council, because that's what you are going to oversee and monitor the board. So I just want to check if you have any other skills, maybe despite whether financial management, good governance, and what is your view on corruption, you know, and what you think must be done best, especially because it's done, as you said, it's done also the language. Council is where it is because of corruption, partly. So what are your strengths when it comes to the real government?
Corruptie is een kanker van ons land moet uitbreken. Het dilemma wat ons heeft, is dat als dubbels mensen aanstellen posten dat die vaardig graag vooruit niet. En dit is waar ik verzoek om kom om dat nog echt betrokken te raken. Ik heb ook gezien hoe de jaren dat mensen het niet vermoeden heeft die verval en ambtenaarlijkheid. Wat betekent die bureaucratie? Dit is wat je is. Ik denk dat niet proactief. Zo, is het belangrijk dat ons moet kunnen gemeenschap aanstellen geraakt. En zijn raadkundigen met elke personeel van Panza, elke eigen personeel van Panza, geëvalueerd wordt of hij of zij daar hoort. Ons moet harde besluiten nemen. Maar ik kan voor iets zeggen, Panza kantoor zijn nou in Pretoria is niet veel werk en ik is wel eerlijk daarvoor. Daar gebeurt niks, is een klompje mensen waar zitten daar. En als ze daarover besluiten, dan moet ons zeker maken, ons procedures is recht, ons proces is recht. En dan moet ons lobby bij de regering. Lobby. Dit is wat Amerika doet, dit is wat Lubos doet. Als je regering die komt, van veertaligheid komt niet. Met ons uit de raad, zeker maken die regering weet wat veertaligheid niet betekent. Maar ons moet samen op het tijd kunnen komen. Ons moet er die mensen in ieder land niet geven dat hulle taal belangrijk is. Weet je, ik heb al een postkantoor aangezet waar iemand, wat moet zit van op dat. En ik kan zien die onzekerheid in die persoon zijn oor, van hulle verstaan niet mijn taal hier. Ons moet meer mensen met verschillende talen in kantoor heen.
Yes.
Als ik vandaag een staatskantoor bel, dan praat mensen in Engels met mij. En dat is niet mijn lef. Dus ik kan zien, daar is geweldig waaien om te doen. Maar ons moet teruggaan, zoals ik naar die tegenbord, back to the drawing board, en staat all over again. En dan lobby, get an funding, be proactive, en dan is someone dat niet die bepalings nakomt niet, dan moet ons een hoofdgebak en straf. Nou, die kans dat geen advies. Als kans dat niet het verkeer kan maken, moet ons eerder met om aangaan. Als hij niet letterlijke gezag geeft om zeker te maken, meertalige, het wordt waar niet, moet ons misschien kans dat stop hier en die beter gaan niet in zijn geld helpen van hier.
Corruption is a cancer, and I think it often creeps in when people are appointed who are not experts. And it also causes another problem that they act bureaucratically because they can't act like experts. So we need to appoint experts. The people in the employment of Pantok need to be evaluated. And once we've appointed the experts, they must also be monitored to ensure that processes and procedures are followed. And if there's non-compliance, then there have to be consequences. We have to charge people in court, and they have to be punished if they are non-compliant with the rules and regulations. And we need to lobby governments to make them aware of the importance of multilingualism. That's the only way to do it, otherwise you don't get means. And lastly, Hanat also needs teeth. If it cannot enforce anything, then it's pointless to go on with the exercise. They must be able to enforce the prescriptions.
Ek net die laaste punt wat ek net vra oor korrupsie. Ek wil vir u noem dat die ons die gebrek ontwikkel in Suid-Afrika. As iemand gedink word van korrupsie, word hy op betaalde verlof gesit. Die vorige HIP van Tanga was 45 jaar op betaalde verlof. Prosesse om die saak te hanteer het vat nie pas te vind. Ons staatsprosesse is so lank dat het amper zonas is om korrupsie te pleeg. Want jy hoef nie te werk om geld te ontvang. As iemand spreek van korrupsie is, moet die persoon sonder betaling geskort word en die saak binnen 2 maanden afgehaal word. Ons moet ferm en vinnig in enige vorm van korrupsie optree. Daaronder is het weer een mooi broodjes te maken.
Ja, one last...
I'm an optimist, I know.
One last thing about corruption. In South Africa, unfortunately, we've developed the practice that if somebody is suspected of corruption, he's put on paid leave, and then the processes develop and unfold very long-windedly, so that there are corrupt officials who have been on paid leave for more than a year. Which actually means corruption pays, because you don't even have to work for your salary anymore. You're still getting paid and you don't even work. So we need to make sure that if people are being accused of corruption, that they are being suspended without pay, and that the processes, the legal processes, are wound up within 2 months. Otherwise, we won't be able to crack this one.
Thank you. No more questions on this?
Ek wil met dat die passie die persoon praat. Soos ek daar wat ons hier het sê, dat ons die politie heeft veel geantwoord op korrupsie. Op mense wat gesuspend is, maar met betaling. En dan loopt die saak aan. En as daar vinding is, dan is daar vakansie. My vraag was, wat kan afreis of is voorgang is? En ek vind daar die mense wat aangestel is in daar die rekensie. Hoe gaan ek verseker dat daar die persoene nie die selde gestek maak he? Voorzitter, daar die rekensies, sy poste is gaat verdier en het besluit die 7e Mei. En dit is baie strategische poste. Strategische poste
ja.
Waar mede moet besluiten maak.
Ja.
So, ek reis net die punt. So as die persoon gaan succesvol is, weet hy, gaan hy entity of institutie met baie ken of ons. Thank you very much.
En daar was ander moment, Ralf?
Kijk, kan ik just respond?
Nee.
Ja, ek is so blij dat sy die saak noem. Ek het in die hele kwestie van korrupsie gepraat. Jy weet, ons behoort, en sy het gesê, ons behoort seker te maak dat iemand wat verdink word van korrupsie, nie helder in die stafsies aangestel word. Ek wees so baie van kranten van iemand wat in die municipaliteit gezorg weet korrupsie, en dan gaan hy na die municipaliteit van diezelfde salaris. Dat daar behoort er heel in die stafsies te wees. As jy verdink word van korrupsie, kan jy nie vir enige ander post aan die staat in aanwerking kom nie. Of jy hard en ferm is. Want nou gaan ons in ons stel so persoon aan met die reputatie van moontlike korrupsie, selfs word jy nie verdink, is het erg daarvan. En dan stel ons so persoon aan en dan sit jy en jy raak iemand so persoon in sien aan. Kijk hoeveel hoogte van staatsstellings is die autoriteit afgedaan. Dit is onvermoeën. Sondag met dat waarschijnlijk eens corruptie. Ons is nie ferm, jylle is nie ferm van nog een regering hier ook nie. Jylle sal dit moet doen.
Yes, I'm glad about this question. My feeling is we have to ensure that people are being suspected of corruption are not being reappointed. And so often it happens that even if somebody is found guilty of corruption, he's being reappointed, maybe a municipal manager, etc., then he's just reappointed at some other municipality. And that is a practice that we cannot tolerate, because that way corruption is just continuous and spreads. So many heads of state institutions have been suspended, and sometimes because of incompetence, and often also because of corruption. And we have to be firm about this, otherwise we won't get rid of this cancer.
Okay. Prof, your time is over. And I must say that public servants, members of parliament are committed on a Saturday. Maybe you've never had an interview on a Saturday. We are here on a Saturday, and we've been here last night till 12 o'clock because we are very patriotic. One thing I must comment, though, you are very reconciled. You are only speaking about reconciliation more than anything. I think those are some of the things that we really need in South Africa. Before we say goodbye, do you have any questions for any members of the portfolio committee? And you've already said Honorable Dory says she's charmed by you, and I'm not sure whether are you a polygamist, because I think you're with your wife, and so because she's offered herself to say, you see, you are so charming.
I must say I like Professor Mapolitis about the conversation for an
So when you are speaking, I would get the other one. Then I need to speak about the issues of the written directives. It was very important for me. And even when you spoke about the level of power, please said no. We were not focusing on them. That's what we and that's what we could. And speaking about those, about the management, and I know that there is a very and very clear potential and what we can do. It is because the street has run on to the national region.
Thank you. No,
that's the gula already.
Bula will run any party.
Bula is the first person. I like to do the book that debate.
I come
from the same. I come from Devon.
Yeah.
So Play is my friend.
Maybe you can use your friends better.
I like the confidence. All of them, you know, that one from the English, they should, when you speak, when you start speaking, I'm like,
I don't know.
Coming to me. I said, what is it? Thank you, honourable members, once again. Thank you and good morning to you, Mr. Isaka. Welcome to Parliament. It's your first time here.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome to Parliament. In front of you, you've got the Portugal Committee on Arts and Culture. My name is Tandi Desuduza. I'm the chairperson of the Portugal Committee. In front of you, the honourable members of Parliament. You can see honourable Moses Yoni. We've been sitting here for till last night, and on a Saturday we are here, Honorable Moss is on the story. Honorable Namita Shivana is Honorable Mabunda. Either back there is Honorable Sanabel. Then you have Honorable Sankavi who comes from the province. And then you have got Honorable Jacqueline. And then we have got our staff members here who are recording whatever that you are saying here is recorded. So as tomorrow you don't say you are discriminated against, you ask you just questions or whatever. Nothing offensive, so that we've got it on record as well. And then you've got 45 minutes. We are going to ask you questions and answer the way you're comfortable, but don't try to make your answer too long because we need to continually ask you follow-ups because sometimes if you have too much information, we lose you on the process, we lose you then in the thing. Just a word of warning, these are members of Parliament. They love each other. So you see public streets walk around, others standing up, others walking. Not that we disrespect you, we are in a formal
very way by now you are so stench, you are such a formal insult, you see the way you are wearing. We are, look, I'm talking, they're talking. So, they know that they're not listening to you. You know, they are listening because they'll ask you a little of
what
you
not point of order, Chairperson. My advice.
But not point of order.
No, really.
He has got a crush on me. So, it has been going on for years. So, don't just...
No, Chairperson, you are misleading the public by telling them we are loving each other. That's not true.
No, but it's true. I will expose another one now. So, just stop it with me. So, okay. In fact, thank you for showing interest in I thought you were going to speak Afrikaans. I'm shocked you're speaking English because people will not engage. They speak English, Afrikaans, and Twana in one. They will speak one thing that I don't understand. You are from the Northern Cape. Mm-hmm. Which town is the Northern Cape? Oh, the Hey. Master, what have you learned? Oh, yeah. Tell us, who is Mr. Isaka? Just in 2 minutes, so that you can know who you are. You've read all these people, but it sometimes it's like when a person expresses themselves. Who is Mr. Isaka? What made you to have an interest to apply in a punk rock board?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, and all of the members. My name, as you have already seen, is Gilbert Mookesi Isaka. I'm from the North Bay province. Maybe to start with, what made you be interested in applying for to serve in the board of council is because I'm a person that has shown interest in languages and also having passion for that. Maybe the other thing that I didn't indicate in my CV, I've been the member of the Provincial Language Committee, which is a structure of PESA, which is an extension of the board in the province since 2005. And I became a chairperson of that committee in 2008, up to date. As you can see also, I studied languages, and I was a language teacher, and then became a lexicographer, a dictionary writer of the African languages. Currently, I'm employed by the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature as a language practitioner. I'm an interpreter and translator. I think maybe in brief, I can say that I was so interested in serving the board because really I wanted to see what is in the constitution happening in the country in terms of people's rights, language rights. I think I've said it, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Isaka. Honorable members of parliament. Honorable Story, Honorable Vanderberg, Honorable Jeff Tyler. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Issa. Lebuyeleng. Kutla tsa tsiba hore mona the act has got space. I would like to have categories of people who participate as members of the board. I think you have seen that. Yeah, I want to establish so that it makes it easy for us. Whether in the areas that I mentioned there, what expertise have you got?
I think one of the...
Especially, I've heard about the language, but can you categorize it? Whether you are an interpreter and translator, or you can deal with terminology and development, language planning also. The other thing is that you might have other expertise that are not known to us, maybe legal experience or financial. I just want you to elaborate more on that. And the second thing is that you say you are a chairman of a provincial language committee, which is somehow linked to Tanzania. So what did you think about Tanzania's performance for the last 5 or more years, and where, according to the mandate of your provincial, what kept you going when you had the what we can call your umbrella failing, and what came into your mind? What were you thinking about the mandate that you have, and where did you think turns out was lacking, so that you can tell us just in a nutshell?
Okay, thank you. Hello, let me start with the expertise that I think I'm bringing to this, if maybe I appointed as a board member. Like, for example, the linguistic skills that I'm having, like your translation. I think there's another demand of TENSAL. They want TENSAL to advise or to support in terms of rendering the services that I just mentioned, like your translation and interpreting. And then I was thinking that in terms of advice, because I think the function of the board advise the other structures or the other levels of government, is where I think I can come in as a person who could experience in translation and interpreting, including technology development. Because the other thing that I forgot to mention is that I'm always invited at the National Working Committee for Terminology in the country. But in the case of the language that I'm speaking, Setswana, to go and assist. Meaning that when it comes to terminology development, I can also come in. Then I was thinking that within the hands up, the skills that I'll be bringing is one of the linguistics in terms of advising, maybe if we need to advise on issues related to linguistics or language use and learning in the country, if I come in. Now, how did I feel about TENSAL in the past years? Yes, I'm happy because you mentioned in this, because I think I felt the same like the portfolio committee and other stakeholders, that TENSAL failed to carry out its mandate. Actually, let me say TENSAL board at the national level. Because according to me, the provincial language committees, we tried our best to do, because we are an extension of the board in the provinces, we tried our best to carry out the mandate of TENSAL. Hence, we continue to exist in the provinces. But now, in terms of advice, the board is the one that takes the failed committees, because we need to advise the province and also the board with issues related to languages, issues in the province. Now, the board that was failing also, I feel that it failed the committees at the provincial level, because the advice that we gave to them, they didn't take it seriously. That's how I can say TENSAL failed to deliver its mandate according to the constitution. Even though somehow they didn't completely fail to do that, because according to the mandate of the constitution, we're supposed to create conditions for the development and use of official languages, or maybe to establish the provincial language committee. There I can say, at least in the beginning, they did do something, because they did establish the committee, so that they went to the province to go and carry the mandate there. I think in short, that's what I can say.
Next, Nikki was before me, yeah.
Thank you, Chidison. I just want to ask something about just of the administrative nature. I just want to ask, how important is it for the candidate to fill in personal details on, especially on this form? You say your English proficiency level is good. Then your Setswana is excellent, I believe. But then you say your Afrikaans is also good. So are your Afrikaans and English on the same level? That's what I'm asking.
Yes, honorable member. I think they are on the same level. You know why I'm saying this. I studied these three languages at matric level and then continued with the Setswana at tertiary institution. That's why I can see that it's good because I studied Setswana deeper than the rest. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chaka, you are part of the Provincial Language Committee. Now, with the implementation of the Use of Official Languages Bill 2012, it will be very important for provinces to have language policies. And as far as I know, sir, Northern Cape does not have a language policy. Only two provinces have. Do you see yourself as having a role in developing such a language policy? Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Patricia. I'm happy because you also raised that question. When I started as a member of the Provincial Language Committee, already there was a draft in place. And then we developed the second draft after out of the first draft because we are guided by the National Language Policy Framework that was established and approved in 2003. It is the one that is formed to have the language draft in the province. The language policy, but it's still on draft as I'm speaking. For example, again, maybe I mentioned something here. As you correctly say, the Northern Cape is one of those provinces that does not have a language policy. Recently, the Premier and the committee has been sued for not having language policies in the province. But now, as the Premier is the first respondent, and we, the committee, and PEMSA, as the second respondent, we are busy developing that response, and we are quite sure that we didn't only start now, or we didn't only start the language policy because of the person who sued the province, with Mr. Lawrence. He sued the province, but now we have information that we didn't act because of Mr. Lawrence. We started a long time ago. The only thing that made us not to really conclude, it was the board on top there. Because we wanted to move, but now because of the action of the board, the board that disbanded, we couldn't conclude it. But as I'm speaking now, we had a meeting last week with the DG from the Premier's office to work together, speed up the process of the language bill, also of the policy at the same time. I think by June or July, we'll be having those legislations. This will be taken somewhere because already we got a draft at the last level of its completion.
Thank you, sir. Any years in Dublin, Texas, your responsibility is up. Ulayeza ne board members emadashina manis. Pa ukulayeza kwakho ne board members phaya ukungenzeka into yokuba kukhona i-challenges ezithile ukulayezeni asingazi njani. Ndifuna ukwazi uba ungaba kukhona a major unazela zonke. Just a major challenge, a common ekulayezeni ne board le ukusebenza nayo. Okwesibini, ukuba umsebenzi wakho futhi ukuwenza phaya eVits University ubu
ukuhlanganisa umuntu ngokuplana umsebenzi nokuallocate ama-task nokuto ensure that must be incompletion of work by translators and other editors. And nokutranslator and edit documents such as bills and political speeches. Mna ke ndifuna ukutshengisa apha kwezi zinto ndisho uba ama-challenges kuyo lo msebenzi obaluleke kangaka ngawaphi and udila kanjani na uba ungathi nje briefa nanye apho kuloo nto ndibalulekile loo nto.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, can I respond in English?
I follow
you. Yeah, as a person who's sending in the board, in the provincial board, I decided to learn a number of languages. I can hear, but sometimes I'm still trying to learn to speak. Yeah, but I heard exactly what the mayor said. Yeah. Let me start with the first one. What was it again? Yeah. Okay. Well, let me start with that. Oh, yes. I think at that time when I was still a senior discographer at the University of Northwest, which is one of the structures of the board of cancer. I was an employee by that time. And then there were also board members of that unit. So then I was working as a person who writes a dictionary and also liaising with members of the board. Now maybe the challenge is that most of members, sometimes others, it was easy to find, like if you invite them for a meeting. But others, it was so difficult to find. Or maybe they are committed, you find them, and then you want to organize a meeting for the next session, then it was not easy to really together at the same time. But now we used to plan and make sure that we call a meeting in advance, so that everybody can be ready for that meeting. Then the second one is the one, actually is the provincial legislature. Yeah, where I'm managing language practitioners because I'm a senior translator. I'm also working as an interpreter for members of the provincial legislature. Then the challenges that I'm experiencing there, I think is what is happening in the whole province, because we've got only two departments, the legislature and Department of Justice, that got language practitioners. And at our institution, as I'm telling you now, I'm the only translator, and we've got four languages, which is isiXhosa, Setswana, Afrikaans, and English, as we have proposed in the new bill, that they should be our official languages. But now the thing is that the lack of staff. They'll have one person there. The challenge will be I'll have to use the same interpreters who are also one man per language to produce translation of your handout and other documents. Or I'll outsource them. When I outsource, it's a challenge. Sometimes it's not easy to just outsource everything that is produced by members of the provincial legislature. I think that is a challenge, and I've been trying to raise it with the ones on top. But now I realize that they're also really not taking our languages seriously, even though I'm advising as a member of the committee at that level. I think it's what I can say about it.
All what I want to do for us to explain maybe, or even before this one, the honorable member who asked questions for the very first person indicated that he would like you to share with us in some other expert fields, not only in language practitioner and language learning. We wanted also to have at least, if you have, when I recall she was referring you only also to the advert, we know it's not compulsory that you want, should have all those that require is required, but you can also specialize on that. Any other, you know, expertise, as she gave an example, like in the governance and the, you know, in the legal fraternity, just share with us again. I'm just, you know, taking the question forward. And then secondly, I just want to from your responses for now, one can have that sense that you have knowledge about this Pencil Act maybe and the new legislation that is coming after the use of official languages and so on. But what one will expect you also to expand is this issue of being a board member. I think most of the people are lacking that character to speak to the reality and to the truth, because other people can know exactly that what you are doing as for now is not correct. They have that sense to say, we're not correcting as supposed to be, or I'm not meeting as we're supposed to meet. And the worst part is to define yourself as a board member, as a body that oversees the whole structure of PEMSA, and differentiate yourself with the management there and also the officials on the ground. Because me and you, as you have just indicated, we are still assuming that the interference from the board members to the management level to that led to, what did I say, the internal disputes. Because certain people will talk at random up until the whole resource of the whole body is being used for their, you know, personal and legal fight, and they don't most of taking the organization forward. So what character would you bring? I know this question has been raised. We still want you to elaborate on this. What character do you have to can stop all these kind of things that has made our organization this plans up not working accordingly? And the last part, do you have any business that might be operating related to, you know, for you to have, what do you call this, conflict of interest while operating your business? So if you do have, we know people usually say, no, I usually declare and all these other things. But at the end of the day, you find also the very same person who told even the, you know, the interviewer that they are declared. But at the end, you find he's doing it on the other way around. Faithfulness sometimes is a good thing too for us to find time from here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, another member. To start with the first one of what other expertise that I have entered about. Actually, I don't have any qualification in finance or in governance, but since I've been leading the committee, I think I've gained experience of running the finances of a provincial committee. I know exactly that there are certain, for an example, that when I was still a committee member, I realized that the pencil board, in most cases, actually, they were disregarding other important legislations that we are having, like we have PMMA, which is the one that I think I used it to control the finances of the committee. That's when I think I've gained as a financial experience. I didn't learn anything with regard to that. Even the governance, I think I learned how to run, because the committee also got different subcommittees. And then I knew exactly how to run them as the leader. I think out of that is where I learned a little bit knowledge about governance, because I didn't experience such a lot of problems. And then the second one, what type of character that maybe I think is what I've been thinking that because the constitution of Central Act is very clear on what the functions of the board are. You know, even the last time when I was shaking on it, I realized that my I mean, this thing is clear. It's given. Just look at it and you speak it and you need to mean that in some point of time, you just need to accept it if you do something. So that must not be derailed by these other people in the administration, which is, has happened to cancel. For example, if even in the committee of the Northern Cape, they used to, at the administration level, they used to take this committee as the problem, the one that is giving them a challenge, because we are not scared, especially when it comes to our languages. We used to write a letter up with the CEO, or even say, can we meet with the current board, and they refuse. We tried by all means, but we didn't get help, you know, because we believe in that. And then, it also in terms of our experience, I think it's important to mention this one. You know, this one, I always boast about it, because I was a teacher for 9 years. And then, while I was teaching, definitely I got challenges, especially in terms of languages. I was taken to African speaking school, where I was forced to teach in Afrikaans, and I never learned a biology in Afrikaans. Then with those challenges, I put myself there, think about the kids, and say, you see now, I mean, I'm experiencing this. Then I developed the interest in the language in education. I say our committee was the first one in the country to advise the board that the language in education policy, or the one of 1995, it was not really doing justice to the system, to the education system. Then we recommended that, knowing that is our role in the committee, advising the board that, and the Department of Education, Arts and Culture, that it needs to be reviewed to make sure that really it has to develop our African languages, because it has any two languages, and most of people opted for the obvious. And then I felt that it was failing us. Today is still in the hands of the disbanded board. We took it up with the board. And can you remind me the last question? Oh, okay, sorry for that. The hand of business. I'm interested in actually I registered a business in translation and interpreting and declared. Like I know at the provincial legislature every year, where we are reminded also to declare our interest. But that is the only business that, but it has not yet flourished because I registered in 2010. I've never used it for business, but it's what I was intending to deliver translation services outside. I think in short is what I can say.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to raise the issue that you said that Afrikaans English is Xhosa and Tswana is your language in the Northern Cape. But according to the Act and the legislation we passed in 2012, it's still in the Cape, especially those languages who are not recognized in the past, indigenous languages. Now, in the Northern Cape, as I hear yesterday from Mr. White, that the Northern Cape, they have some schools where the kids are teaching by Tsonga language and the Khoisan language. And in Kimberley in particular, you have a community where you have your Khoisan community in this particular area. I don't know why you're not telling us as the board, but if you are still struggling with to getting that policy in place, because that policy must addressing also those challenges of the indigenous languages. I mean, the Nama and the Khoisan and the Kwikwas, they are particularly from your province. And if you become one day the board member, you must make sure that those languages and also the other indigenous languages be promoted. That is very key. This, I mean, the Act of 2012 is not compromising on that. For me, it's a very disappointing fact. I mean, that's why Lawrence is taking them as one to take your province to court. It's not a fact you can compromise. The chairperson of our committee debated last week on the issue of heritage. Now, heritage route and languages, you can't separate the two. Because when you pick up languages, you will know exactly what kind of population that you may be getting in that particular region of the province. It's part of the route. So, I don't know even did you have partnership with your other provinces where those go and send and young people come last year, the committee to the oversight in Kwatu and in Kim and Kumulian, where they found students from Botswana and from Namibia where they're dealing to write a book but also dictionaries on those languages. So I'm not really saying that even your new elected premier, they're speaking all the Nama language. So so that is a very, 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 maybe big challenge that you have to overcome. I want to ask the second point on the issue of service delivery and distance. Why I'm raising this? Others was the members at Gallerim is raising the concern about the distance and the budget according. They was that Mavunda is asking you did you have the MM story background of the issue of finance, because it will be key if the legislation is saying that you must take the initiative to promote and creating conditions for developing of the individual languages. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I'm happy because you mentioned that one. Actually, I just alluded to the legislation. I didn't go deep into it by saying that we've got four official languages. It's because we've been guided by the National Language Policy Framework and also the Constitution, where you say we've got 11 official languages, now including certain languages. Now, also in our Constitution, I think it's what we emphasize more because we realize that the Khoisan languages, they are found also in the Northern Cape, like you correctly said, in Platfontein, 8 kilometers from where, from Kimberley, where we found the Khoisan people. And maybe if I let the other thing that I had mentioned also, I'm working hand in hand with Mr. White, he's from the Eastern Cape, but now there are both meets in the Northern Cape, where also we become part of their meeting also to listen to their issues so that we can take them up. Even in our provincial language committee, all languages are represented in the province. Like the four languages, Khoisan, we got every representative of those languages. I think we sent in, meaning that we try to cover all, including the South African sign language. Now, even in our proposed policy, We included, we emphasized on the Khoisan and Nama as South African sign language. We even went to an extent of saying that in the frontline officers, at least one person must be appointed who can sign, who can do a sign language. And we also supported the idea of the acting CEO, the caretaker CEO now to say that we wanted Khoisan language because there's a demand out there that it must be officialize. We met at the platform that we have been asking for of according to the norms and rules of the provincial language committee. It wanted us to have chairperson forum. Since the principal was established, they never met. We're the first group who met, I think, since the beginning of this year, trying to talk about the issues that are affecting us all in the province. Like previously on Monday, we had a meeting with the caretaker CEO and the chairpersons of the past Monday had a meeting where we spoke about this issue, why we also talk about the strategy. I think that the time around strategy now that is for 5 years. He started with it, all the chairpersons, but consulting with the other members of the committee, but he's been meeting with the chairpersons only. But from there we'll have our own structures meeting at province, giving feedback, also getting input, and making sure that everybody owns that strategy. Now, in short, I'll just say that no, we made sure that we really put them on top. The Khoisan, Nama, and South African Sign Language, because we feel that are the most marginalized, and it's painful because if you can go to that community, because normally we go to them when they ask us, or they come and come with their complaints, it's painful if you listen to their stories. You know, it's like you feel like crying when they relay the story, because you know, like if someone tells, or maybe I say like in this one and say, you know, my language carries the blood of my culture. You say something like that, and if they lose their language, we also feel that they lose their culture. But for example, you know what we did? We push the Department of Education of the Northern Cape to make sure that they teach Kwerem, which is also part of the Kwerem languages at that school. And I think it's the only school that is teaching Kwerem. Last year, December, they decided to terminate it. We went up against the department and said, there is no way that you can terminate this. They said it is because of the teachers, they don't have qualifications, and also they don't have funding. We said, no, we got skills development. And then we can go to skills development and train people to assist you so that we create conditions for this thing to happen. They have agreed, as from next month, that they'll be continue teaching better at platform D, where the present people are.
You know, Chairperson, I think the whip has taken my question, because I found it very strange also. I was reading the policy, actually, the language policy on the subsection 1.3 legislative context on 1.3.6. It explicitly explains that how important Oi and Nama and sign languages. And if you go down to 1.3.7, it also speaks about other relevant provisions pertaining to language matters. It speaks about what the Honorable Chief has been talking about, referring to people's rights in terms of cultural, religious, and linguistic participation and enjoyment. Section 35, 3 and 4 refer to the language rights of arrested, detained, accused persons. She has been talking about it. And you see, Chairperson, before 1994, we used to go to the area of Kimberley to go and address with Mamu Winnie Mandela. And there was a, what is this, Buckley West? Buckley West? Yeah. You know, those people were eager to see Mamu Winnie because they were talking about the same thing. And I can assure you it's a 1993 or 4, quite long. 1993, before we could even prepare ourselves to come to Parliament. And we are still talking about this in boardrooms and everything. Let me ask you if you can give us an inclination of what your structure looked like, your organogram of your board at the province. I heard you. I wanted to know whether you've got all the required subcommittees. So is including the one that would address the risk and the financial. Now that you self-taught yourself about the financials and you taught yourself about governance, I don't know how good is that, and you are confident. You know, I buy books also anywhere in CNA that educate me on finances and how to go about. I've got all those books, I read them. So they assist me to come and participate and interrogate you people when you come here. So I'm self-teaching myself in areas that I don't have expertise. Maybe you are doing the same thing. But I don't think it must end there. Because somebody was telling us just now how they manage to fundraise. They don't just depend on the money that is allocated to them by government. I think that's very important. And if you can just give us maybe a picture of what your structure looks like, you might be talking about yourself only, no other people are working.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for that question. Yeah, and I'm happy because it's also leading me to things that, very important things that I think I must mention here. In terms of working together, we work together with the Department of Arts and Culture in the province, where they also got expertise. And I know it's their responsibility also to make sure that multilingualism and development of African languages is happening in the province. Now let me start with the subcommittee. The subcommittee is based at the PENSAP provincial office. The PENSAP got all provincial offices, all 9 provinces. Like they have a provincial manager from PENSAP head office. Then they do the committee work, which committee, because we are full-time in our jobs. They are the one who are doing administration of the committee in terms of finances also. When I was saying that I learned, that's because the manager cannot do 2 things alone without knowing. I'll check whether he's doing the right thing. And if he's not right, then I won't sign. That's how I use my expertise in. But he's the one who does the books and the rest for the provincial office. The committee also, in terms of maybe the structure, it got the subcommittees. Like it got the subcommittee on language planning. In terms of policies and legislations, we use that through got skills there to develop or to advise. And we also got a subcommittee on language and education. Issues that affect education, we got people who got expertise like teachers to also assist us with information as a committee to can give effective advice. And we also got translation and interpreting, a subcommittee that deals with the services in different departments. People who got expertise there. And the other one, how can I just write it? Yeah, we got 4 subcommittees. I'll mention it so as I remember it. The other thing, to say that we're not working alone. We realize that it's where PENSAP is a subcommittee has been lacking, especially the one at the national level, the board, the bigger board now. It is mentioned in the Constitution and PENSAP Act. They're really lacking when it comes to stakeholder development, working together, because the people there in their different corners are doing a good job, but everybody's like keeping it there, and right now PENSAP couldn't really carry its mandate away. And then we realized that if you can work together, not working in silos, then we'll be able to do that. Now, with the Department of Arts and Culture, I think the other thing that made the board to fail, I think the members are aware, is this thing of not knowing whose role is. For example, Arts and Culture, they're there to monitor other departments and also to give support. But the PENSAP was supposed to monitor the department, whether it's really carrying out this mandate, but also giving support. Now, what we did at the provincial office, we're working hand in hand with the Department of Arts and Culture. Sometimes we're just doing it because we know that we get our finances from head office. We don't do the finances there. We deliver the service, we do the job, then they pay the service provider if maybe that need be. We're not controlling finances at the provincial level. All the finances are controlled there. At the national level by the head of PENSAP. I just forgot my subcommittee. Oh, yeah. In terms of risk, yeah, no, the provincial manager I think was placed deliberately there to deal with risk management, because he's the one who controlled the finances and reports to the head office, and the head office will come up with the complete report for the portfolio committee. We have not yet started it, like in the constitution. I realize that the other thing that we didn't do as a committee, but we started I think last year, to then also report to the portfolio committee at the provincial level, because it's what has been lacking. When they started, the members of the provincial legislature, when they started hearing about language issues, Lawrence and the rest, they said, but what's happening in the province? Who's responsible? They call us in to come and explain. It's only now people realize that things has not been done correctly. That's why the portfolio members were not aware about it. They were only aware when things started happening. But in the constitution, it's clear that pencil will report to the national parliament or provincial legislature, meaning that provincial will be provincial committee. But it's what we just started last year. After for so many years, we've been taking everything to the national office. The province not being aware about what is happening. I think it's what I can say about that.
Members of Commissioner.
I'm not trying to be judgmental. You know, it's a very important thing that we are picking up here. The dislodging of communications and accountability, you know. Now I want to say, if we get a product of what is happening in the province, like Mr. Isaac, that has been able to correct such things and working on it, what do you think you bring to PENSAP when you are working under such scrupulous conditions? And you think it's correct. It's just not correct for us and culture to interfere like that. That's not right, and you be dependent on us and culture. I don't know whether you're hearing yourself. I don't know whether other members are hearing. And I think there is something wrong. And there's something wrong at the top, something wrong at the middle, and now I just wanted to, you are a product of it because you think you are doing the right thing. Just tell us so that we are able to score on you. What would you bring to PENSAP to correct all these things?
Thank you, Honorable Member. You know, I wanted to be honest about this. That's why I wanted to tell exactly what was happening. It's like, I think that there was no proper control from the top. Because I knew that what was happening at the Northern Cape was not happening at the Free State, or it was not happening at Mpumalanga. We did things differently. Others, I think it was because of funding. At the Northern Cape, Northern Culture, we didn't get any funding from them. We just wanted to have a good relationship to assist where we can assist if they're really not achieving in terms of this, because we know that they are also the custodians of languages in the province. The relationship was only to ensure that we understand what they are doing, because we have been working with MEC, but knowing that our role is to advise MEC in terms of language issues in the province. But that relationship was not like really compromising our mandate. We knew in other provinces, maybe if I had mentioned one, it's what we used to hear. Department of Agriculture will give, at the provincial level, will give millions or 2 million to potential structure. And that now will really compromise what the committee is supposed to be doing. Hence, I told you that since I took over as the chairperson of the Northern Cape, I raised the same matters that Tata mentioned in that. I think we have not been doing things properly. We need to change now and do things according to the Terms of the Act and also the Constitution. And, you know, one of the things that maybe I forgot to mention is like, I said, maybe I can go up and join Terms of the head office because I know these things. Maybe we'll have to correct things, because if I'm sitting at the provincial level and I give advice, they just ignore me. They want us to continue the way they used to continue. That's all I remember. I want to regard myself as a product of this, because I didn't have power, but I felt that if maybe I can be part of those, I'll be able to advise and also get in the same experience. Because I know that we, for example, there are two main things that we didn't do as parents. We didn't deliver the mandate, and also we didn't, at the head office, probably we have been trying to do it, to work according to the PFMAs and other things. That's why now the financial issues and the rest. But we as the committee, we refuse. Like, if maybe I give an example, we had, I think this is the third committee now in the province, because they have been appointed by MEC after 5 years. And I think, maybe let me just mention something before I forget. And the other thing is this confusion. I think it's all over. Even council head office, maybe you members need to raise that question to them. If they are still not certain who must appoint the provincial members of the language committee. Definitely, we raised the matter with them. They are still not certain. They can't give you the correct answer. At other provinces, they say MEC is responsible for appointment. We're not doing the same thing. And at other provinces, the defense of head office will do it. Even now, I'm still not yet clear who is responsible. Because I wanted us to do this, you know, to do the same thing. The members of the provincial language committee. And Free State MEC will do it. The Northern Cape Panther head office will do it. That confusion. That's why now you'll end up seeing that other relationship also be compromising. Like in our committee, the first committee used to be given a space in the Department of Arts and Culture. We said no, there's no division of responsibility here. Then the time we came in, we said, well, we can't be under the Department of Arts and Culture because we're a statutory body. We're supposed to be somewhere there. Hence now they brought the offices to the province to ensure that we're independent from the Department of Arts and Culture. You know, I think that the first three committees, they did the wrong thing. But now we try to bring new things. But the board now, the one that is dissolved, the one that raised us, if they were listened to us, would not have been where we are today. Yes, ma'am.
Time is over.
If the chairperson wants to do it, we do access two things. Institute and oversight.
Yeah, it is actually. Thank you, Mr. Isaka. Okay, thank you, Mr. Isaka. Thank you for your time. And it's an interview, but you raised a lot of critical issues that is on a muscle thing that we're also doing oversight. I think our story was persistent because these are the things we've been raising, you know, and you are giving us of another dynamic of the province. I know you came for the interview, but I think you raised issues that I think we need to take them up, really. And I like your boldness and your confidence, because some of the people who don't want to expose, they say they have all provinces on some of the issues. What is before he leaves, what are the acts say on appointment of all on provincial boards? Because there is a confusion, not only on those boards. Yeah.
It's the regulation to the act that says section 3.1, the board shall appoint members of a national language body. So it is board. But I know the confusion, because what happened is other provinces have, like the Western Cape, it has a Provincial Language Act. And that Provincial Language Act creates another structure which runs as a concurrently with the provincial structure of PENSA. So there is always a challenge of how do you ensure that those two structures do reconcile and talk to each other. And in some cases, you have had a situation where the provincial structure as created by the Act of the Province sits within the province, within the provincial department. So it cannot provide oversight to a department because it is part of a department. So in this case, the whole idea behind this regulation was that the board of SARA, I mean of PENSA, would establish this independent body at a provincial level, which will then provide an oversight to the activities and or the language activities within the province, because province cannot create its own watchdog. So that was the entire issue, but it has not been happening because of a lot of confusion at a provincial level and the relationship between PENSA and provinces.
Those are some of the matters that need to be looked at often.
Chairperson, because we've got this information now, you know, I think it's essential for us, you know, to pick up some of these things. If we have a structure that is of national competence, so let it be. You can't have other provinces doing their own thing. I think we have to raise this somewhere, because that causes confusion.
Mrs. Isaac, thank you for your time, and thank you for coming on a Saturday to Parliament willingly, because unfortunately our job has to be done, and if you're patriotic citizens, you don't look at the time, you don't look at everything. These are women and men and women of good families, but because we love South Africa, not passionate about the language, that's why we called you on Saturday. I'm told you can't get a flight to Southern Cape. You come from a small town, so they've arranged something there for you. Maybe you'll wait outside, we'll entertain you, Jago and them. So you'll do it. Or you find out tomorrow. Okay, your both police and Jago will entertain you. So. Ongoya Pangela, the provincial legislation, I'm here Pangela. Maybe you can stay and join us for a lunch. And then, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sir.
What was the last she
said
she'll get here because
she'll have
lunch now.
Yeah. You know? Check. No, push. No, I wanted to allude. Okay. members, I wanted to just to give a very brief analysis of what Honorable Stoll was saying. The issue here is language is Schedule 4A, which is a functional areas of concurrence between national and provincial legislature. So it's very important that the two talk. And in certain cases, there are things that language, I mean, provinces do because they derive the mandate from the provincial language board, I mean, from the Provincial Language Act. So and in many cases, provincial language acts create their own structures, which ends up competing with that, with the mandate of PENSA.
We are committee members, at the same time we are public representatives, and we make the law, and it's for us to correct the law if it doesn't work. That's what I'm trying to say. Because what you are reading, it's quite a confusion on its own. Yes, that causes confusion, and that is our work as public representatives. That's why we have Parliament, and we are part of Parliament. We must correct it. These are some of the things that must fall into the debate when we are debating. And we have to mention it when we talk about the sponsors, starting from the minister, so that he must also be aware that we've got a concern around this. So it must be made to understand that law that you are talking about, it mustn't cause confusion between the national and the province. Why does it do that? I don't know. Because then why should it be a national, at one point it's considered to be national, and then a province? What is the reason for that? That's where we should be focusing on, and we need to understand why is it like that. We are making those laws as kind as it is. We made that constitution also. Umashulubana was part of it, yeah.
Thank you.